Aren't you glad for freedom this morning?
Amen.
Amen. Absolutely. Freedom is one thing we should truly never take for granted. And so I did want to take some time this morning to talk to us a little bit about freedom. And of course, as you know, this coming week we'll be celebrating Independence Day, or as we often refer to it, the 4th of July. And so some of us has probably already started doing that, because we refer to this weekend as the 4th of July weekend, even though the 4th doesn't show up till Tuesday. But nonetheless, we begin our celebrations, and we often do that with cookouts and fireworks and possibly camping. But of course, here in Martin County, part of the festivities of 4th of July is the catfish festival. And I know some has already been very busy with things at the catfish festival. And we were blessed, if I can say, yesterday to be part of the pie tasting. And so that was fun and exciting and all that good stuff. And so But we've had a bit of rain during the festival and some incidents, but it's all part of the celebration, all part of the ambiance, if we would, of the 4th of July. But and we do that in honor of freedom. However, it's really about the concept and understanding of freedom rather than just cookouts and fun activities and a day off work and the catfish festival. Not that all those aren't good things and fun things, but it really is, when we talk about Independence Day, talking about freedom. And so the U.S. Constitution, of course, grants us many great freedoms, yet there's a greater freedom available to us beyond what we know by the Constitution of the United States and the freedoms we experience every day because of this country. And so I'd like for us to take a few moments this morning to consider that freedom that goes beyond the Constitution of the United States of America, freedom that we'll discover is found in Christ. But before we do that, I want us to just kind of get, if we could, a good grasp of the concept of freedom. The dictionary shares this with us: the condition of being free of restraints, the quality or state of being free to enjoy political and civil liberties. And that is exactly what the Constitution represents for us: freedom from restraint, freedom from to enjoy civil liberties and all those types of things, the freedoms that we know by being citizens of the United States. It continues to share with us that freedom is the state of being without something unpleasant or bad. Now, we don't always experience that freedom, as you know, but exemption or immunity from, even in the dictionary, it says freedom from taxation. I'll let you think about that for a little bit. But it also says that freedom is the right or privilege of unrestricted use or access, as well as the power or liberty to order one's own actions. And so when we talk about freedom, we often understand freedom from a very physical perspective. You know, I have the right to do this, and if I don't want to do that, I don't have to do that. I'm free to go where I want to go, all those types of things. We have a very physical concept of freedom. But the freedom I want to talk about today goes beyond the physical to the spiritual. Today we can have spiritual freedom along with physical freedom that is guaranteed to us here in the United States. And so, to do so, I'd like to draw our attention, if we could, to Exodus chapter 6. We're going to look at verses 6 and 7 this morning, and so if you would stand for the reading of the Word. Exodus chapter 6, verse 6, and it says to us, "Therefore say to the children of Israel, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will rescue you from their bondage, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. I will take you as my people, and I will be your God. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God, who brings you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians." I'd like to draw our attention back to verse 6 for just a moment. And I want us to, we're going to use the word free for rescue, and this is okay, and redeemed, because this is exactly what God is doing. He is freeing the nation of Israel from the hands of the Egyptians. And so we read something like this. "Therefore say to the children of Israel, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will free you from their bondage, and I will redeem or free you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments." Join us in a word of prayer this morning. Dear precious Father, Lord, as we come to you, we are so thankful for the freedoms, Lord, that we have in this nation. We're thankful for the freedoms, Lord, that you bring into our life because of your Son, Jesus, and the cross of Calvary. And Lord, this morning, as we begin to think about this concept of being free, I ask, Lord, that your word would speak to our heart, and today we would be encouraged, because not only are we physically free, but this morning we can be spiritually free as well. And so, Lord, I pray that you would just move us this morning with this sense of freedom. And so we ask that you allow us to come to the anointing of the Holy Spirit that allows for the preaching of the word. For we ask in your precious name, and amen. You may be seated this morning. If you know anything about the nation of Israel, they have been here in Exodus, have been in Egypt for some time, and they have been oppressed to the point of becoming slaves, if you would, in Egypt. And if you would follow the line, you would understand that the people were crying out because of the burden that they were under to the Lord. And he says to them that, "I will rescue you, I will free you, I will redeem you with an outstretched arm." And so, as you know, the story of the Exodus, Moses, and all that unfolds in Egypt, and eventually Pharaoh tells Moses to take your people and go, and God frees the nation of Israel from bondage in Egypt. This almost same scenario we think of when we think about freedom, being freed from oppression and from bondage and from chains to be physically free. And so God shares basically with the nation of Israel, "I'm going to free you." And that's exactly what he does. And so I want us to talk about that for a little bit this morning as we think about this concept of freedom. And so the first thing I'd like for us to understand is that real freedom begins with God. When we talk about the author of freedom, it wasn't the men who penned the Constitution of the United States, although we greatly appreciate that and all that unfolded there, and we still celebrate those freedoms today. But the truth is that real freedom begins with God. When he created what we know as the world and all the things in it, what came along with that was God's understanding of free will and freedom. Even from creation, all of us was given freedom to choose. We were given free will. And so the author and creator of freedom begins with God. And that's exactly what we understand in our passage of Scripture as the Lord addresses the children of Israel, or the nation of Israel, and he says to them, first of all, "I am the Lord." And I want us to know today that he is still the Lord. I know the world wants to tell us a million other things of who's in charge and who's in control, but I want you to know this morning, just as the Egyptians were oppressed, God said to them, "I am the Lord." As we deal with odd scenarios that's unfolding in our nation, I want you to know that he is still the Lord, and he still knows, and he's still in control, and he still grants freedom to his people. He says to the nation of Israel, I will bring you out. Nobody else. And I know we credit Moses for a lot of things that happened, but as we dig into the story of Moses and the exodus of Israel from Egypt, we will understand that it was by the hand of God. And so God is saying, I will bring you out. I will free you from Egypt. He also says to the nation of Israel, not only will I bring you out, but I will rescue you. The Lord saying, I will rescue you. From whatever that burden is, from the pain and the agony that's been brought on by the Egyptian people, I will rescue you from Egypt. And the truth is, this morning, there are even people in our community, maybe even in our church this morning, that needs to hear the fact that God will rescue you, no matter the circumstances. That's this sense of freedom. We find that God says to the nation of Israel, I will redeem you. Not only will I rescue you, but I will redeem you, or I'll restore you. Anywhere, any place to understand this concept of being redeemed or brought back into to a right and proper relationship with the Lord is a sense of freedom, to be freed from whatever we're being redeemed from. So we can summarize this morning what God says to the nation of Israel into four words. I will free you. Very clear to the nation of Israel. I want you to know this morning that God is saying the same things to us that he said to the nation of Israel so many years ago. God is saying to us, no matter the circumstances or the bondage or the oppression or whatever it is that's keeping us bound, I will free you. In fact, part of the theme of Scripture from Genesis to Revelation is the simple fact that Christ is going to free all of humanity. Today we know through the Word of God, just as he freed Israel from Egypt, we can be freed from our captors, whatever that might be in our life that we need freedom from. And note in this passage that we shared with you what God says to them. He said, after he says, I'll bring you out, I'll rescue you, I'll redeem you, I will free you, he says to the nation of Israel, I will take you as my people, and I will be your God. That'll stir our heart this morning. This nation that has been in bondage and slavery for many years, God says to them, I will take you as my people. They were foreigners, to be honest, in a strange land. Egypt was not their home. It was not their land. Scripture refers to them as sojourners. They're only there for a season, for a time. They weren't really a people yet. They really wasn't the nation of Israel yet, as we know it as the nation of Israel. And the Lord says, I will take you as my people, and I will be your God. I want you to know this morning, God is still saying to us in this sense of freedom, I will take you as my people, and I'll be your God. Church, there's nothing better than that, than to be God's people and to be known as God's people. And so he says to the nation of Israel, I'll bring you out, I'll rescue you, I'll redeem you, I will free you, you will be my people. Just as he says that to the nation of Israel, he's saying that to us today. We can experience this tremendous sense of freedom. We also discover in Scripture, the second thing I want to share with us this morning, is that our freedom is given through Christ Jesus. That's where freedom is found. I know there's a certain amount of freedom this morning that we get through the U.S. Constitution. Guarantees us certain rights and liberties. But real freedom, genuine freedom, is found in Christ. It's not a physical, necessarily, freedom, but it is a spiritual freedom. But Jesus says to us in John chapter 8 and verse 36, "Therefore the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." If we know Christ as Savior and Lord this morning, we have a sense of freedom that many people don't know anything about. And I think it's important that we note that he just didn't say that he'll set us free, but that we'd be free indeed. It's not the concept or the thought of freedom or being free. It is actually the sense and understanding of being free. It goes beyond the concept of, you know what, I'd like to be free to choose to do this or do that, or I'd like to be free to live where I want to live. But in Christ, it's more than that. It's a freedom from sin. It's a freedom from anger. It's a freedom from hate. And all the other adjectives you want to add to that list. We can be free because when we're set free in Christ, we are free indeed. We don't have to be bound any longer by the chains of sin and anger and hate and even death, to be honest. We are set free from all those things because of Christ. I'm sure you've all seen the commercial for doing taxes that you get. Help me out. What do they say? You've not seen the commercial? Anyway, in the commercial, it talks about the tax services being free. Not just free, but free. Free, 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 free. You've got to have seen that commercial somewhere. But anyway, we can be not only free, but free, 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 free. Not bound, not chained any longer. Because Christ has set us free. In fact, so much free that we find in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." We can be set free so much that we become new. Isn't that awesome? Free. A new creature. The old things, the things that bind us, the things that imprison us, are gone. We can be set free. Free, 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 free from those things. And so what we discovered this morning is that real freedom is in Christ. We're not just talking about physical freedom, but understand that the concept of physical freedom comes from Creator God. God designed freedom, grants freedom physically. But I also want us to know that real freedom, spiritual freedom, is found in Christ. And why Christ was present on earth. Even though he talked about the kingdom of heaven, many people misunderstood this concept of freedom that he was talking about, because they were under the rule of Rome, under the oppression of Rome. And there was confusion about this concept of freedom. That's because it wasn't physical freedom at this point, but it was spiritual freedom. And so real freedom is found in Christ. Romans 8, chapter 2 shares with us, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." Paul says to the Romans that we are free from sin and death if we're in Christ. And the freedom from sin and the freedom from death is real freedom. But we find that Scripture not only talks to us about freedom, but liberty. Freedom and liberty kind of go hand in hand, and sometimes we kind of confuse they're kind of the same thing. When we think about liberty, liberty is the opportunity to. When you have liberty, you have freedom to do. Opportunity to do whatever you choose to do, to become whoever you choose to be. And so not only do we have freedom, we have liberty, but they go hand in hand. We find in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, Paul says to the church at Galatia, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. And do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage." That is a powerful passage of Scripture. Not only are we set free in Christ, free from bondage and imprisonment, but we are given liberty in Christ, the opportunity to. And he says to the church at Galatia that Christ has set them free and that Christ has given them opportunity like they've never known. And then he says to them, "Do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage." We have a certain amount of freedoms that's guaranteed to us by the Constitution of the United States. Physical freedom. God is the creator of physical freedom. Christ brings us spiritual freedom. Freedom from sin and all the things that are attached with sin. We have liberty, opportunity. But unfortunately, as Paul has mentioned to the church in Galatia, often after we're free physically and free spiritually, we find ourselves again in some sort of bondage to this or to that or to something we have either chosen or have not chosen. And that's so unfortunate because many Christians today are bound, chained, imprisoned in various ways. Not physically. All of us here are free to come and go. We have physical freedom. Gather as a church, celebrate Independence Day, go to the fireworks, go to the catfish festival, buy a fish sandwich. Sorry for the commercial. Anyway, or other things you might wish to buy. You're free to do that. But yet often, believers, Christians, still deal with some sort of bondage spiritually. Might have been free at one point, but because of circumstances, and sometimes, the truth is, sometimes life is difficult. Sometimes life just stinks. It's the truth. And from that, we gain baggage that we just can't seem to get rid of. Binds us, keeps us from being free totally in Christ. But I want you to know this morning that Christ still sets you free. You can be free this morning from whatever that thing is that is keeping you bound spiritually. We don't have to be entangled with a yoke of bondage. We can be set free. Third thing this morning I want to share with you is the understanding that we never forget our freedom is not free. Our freedom is not free. Physical freedom is not free. Spiritual freedom is not free. Somebody, somewhere, has paid the price for freedom. And so in this 4th of July weekend, may we never forget our freedom is not free. And so when we think about our physical freedom, may we continue to remember the men and the women who have given their lives for our freedom. To remember the cost of physical freedom guaranteed us by the U.S. Constitution. And men and women are still laying down their lives to grant us that freedom. And so in this 4th of July, I hope that we never forget that. Never forget them. And then above all, that we never forget that Christ died, that we may have ultimate freedom, freedom from sin and death and bondage, spiritual freedom. Spiritual freedom wasn't free either. There was a tremendous cost. We know that cost. It was a cross of Calvary where Christ died for us to redeem, to set free humanity, and to restore a right relationship with God. Because of men and women who have laid down their life, we know freedom physically. And today we can know freedom spiritually because Christ willingly laid down his life that we might know forgiveness, that we might know the grace and the mercy of God, and that we can be in a right relationship with him. And so this morning, as we come to a close, I hope that we understand so clearly that God is the creator and designer of freedom, be it physically or spiritually. Psalms 146:7 says to us, in reference to the Lord, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry, the Lord gives freedom to the prisoners. Let's stand together this morning, if you would. The praise team's going to come. And as we're standing and they're coming to lead us this morning, may we ponder this thought this morning. Today, what might you be imprisoned by? We have the opportunity to be free, and not just free, but free. Free, 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 free this morning. We have that opportunity. And so is there anything this morning that you're imprisoned by? What do we need to be set free from?